3321. That's 905-372-2321. Now, here's Dave.
Thank you, Danielle. And as promised, after the 6 o'clock hour, we have...
Hi, I'm Robert Washburn. Join me and Dave Glover Wednesdays at 6 during the drive time for Consider This, right here on Northumberland 89.7.
That's right, Rob Washburn is in the house. So, you know what, we're going to be talking about counselors. We're going to talk about issues that may sink their candidacy, if we can come up with some of those issues. Before that, we thought the appropriate tune for that would be Johnny Paycheck. So we're going to play a little Take This Job and Shove It, and then we'll be right back to talk more about municipal politics, municipal candidates, what could bring them down. Looking for icebergs.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. I've been working in this factory for now 15 years. All this time I watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears. And I've seen a lot of good folk die and had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give the shirt right off of my back if I had the guts to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. My woman done left. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Well, that foreman, he's a regular dog. The line boss, he's a fool. Got a brand new flat top haircut. Lord thinks he's cool. One of these days I'm gonna blow my top, and that sucker, he's gonna pay. Lord, I can't wait to see their faces when I get the nerve to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Take this job and shove it.
Yeah, that's Johnny Paycheck telling you to take this job and shove it. That's right. I guess, you know what, that's what happens sometimes when you have a breakup. You know, you decide to do a whole life change thing, and that's what Johnny's talking about in that track. Speaking of life changing, well, running for council can definitely be a life changer. You got to bring your family on board with you, then you got to have your family willing to be there with you over the 4 years. And you know, some people can do it, some people can't do it, but we're going to talk about some of the candidates that are running in Coburg and Port Hope, and I guess you got some Hamilton Township stuff as well. Rob Washburn, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Very happy that you're here, and you can listen to us online on the World Wide Web. By the way, we will probably be podcasting this show on Northumberland 89.7's website, and we will also be podcasting it on Consider This, too. You've been gracious enough to offer that space on your site as well, so we can drive traffic back and forth from Consider This to Northumberland 89.7 and back again, hopefully.
The miracle of the modern web.
That's the miracle of the modern web. Well, one of the council, my wife was at the speed dating Meet the Counselor event yesterday, and I'll tell you, the folks that were at her table were very happy to have her at the table, because she, my wife's really up on events. She's talked to them about the marina expansion proposals. She's talked to them about the shelved department report that was put together and then subsequently put on the shelf during this particular council session, and a number of other things. One of the other things that came up, too, of course, was the art gallery, but so many other things. Rob, what do you think are going to be some of these icebergs for some of these candidates?
Well, I definitely think the Legion redevelopment for Coburg is going to be a critical issue. I know that there's a lot of people, mainly people who support heritage and support the heritage downtown, that are very, very upset with this going forward. Mm-hmm. Council it went to the OMB. They've made their votes, and the appeal's been won. But all that being said, I think it definitely tarnished the shine off of this council.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And, of course, we know some of the councillors that have been advocating. One of them, of course, was Miriam Mouton, saying that we need to listen to the voice of the people in the community. I do want to mention, though, as far as the Royal Canadian Legion is concerned, look, the reality for them is this, okay? They need a new branch, okay? They need the ability to build a new branch, and if they can make a partnership with a developer in the area who's willing to pay them for the additional square footage on top of their branch, you know, this is not a huge issue for them as far as I can see. And again, I'm only speaking as a member. I'm not speaking as anyone on the executive of the Royal Canadian Legion. But the problem for the Legion is they don't want to have a storefront Legion. They don't want to have a storefront Legion. But at the same time, the Legion facilities they have right now are they're going to need some huge money to put into that, which they don't have right now. So the ability to partner with a developer for them, it was a win-win-win. Now, as far as the design goes and the expansion goes, you know what? I'm sort of in the dark on this one here. I'm gonna have to abstain from any kind of vote on it, frankly, because I've been there. I've looked it around. And I know Keith Oliver won't agree with me on this, but I really don't see, you know, I stand in that parking lot and I look around and I see the development across the street, which looks like English-style townhomes. I see the Sifton Cook Center, which, I mean, let's be frank, other than the barracks that were there, you've got two other century homes that have been moved to the property. So that is, in essence, a construct of a heritage location. You've got the big White House, and then you've got Legion Village right there. So when you're standing in that spot looking around and you're wondering what, you know, what's heritage and what are the heritage requirements in an area that looks for the most part to have been formerly industrial.
Well, you know what? You've moved into a really important area, I think, and it's reminiscent of our discussion last week with Ian, where we talked about looking after an issue and then what does it really talk to? And, you know, council has made their decisions. Mm-hmm. They have to live or die by what they've done. But here's the thing. What has been the impression that has been left? And how is that impression hitting voters? I mean, they made their decision. Legion's going to go ahead. The decision's been made. But has it left a certain group in the town with a bad taste in their mouth? There's no question that it has. And I think that, you know, whether we support it or we don't support it, I think this is what we mean when we talk about fatal issues, is that, you know, just like Port Hope, they voted against the REM project, the incinerator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every councillor's going to those doors, knocking there and saying, hey, I voted against it. You know, it's the big bad company that's doing this. But as you were pointing out last week, there was a deeper issue for Mr. Angus and his group, and that mm-hmm. was trusting these councillors.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying to you is I think that Legion has deeply shifted people's view, whether no matter how they voted, about their competency, their ability for public consultation, mm-hmm. their ability to build consensus, to work with two sides of a very controversial issue. And have they come out of it clean is my question. So, I mean, when you think about that, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, again, as I said, I would have to abstain from that vote on this particular issue because, like I said, you know what? I know that I would love to have a brand new Legion. As a member, I would love to have a brand new facility, everything on one floor, fully accessible to everyone, especially the vets that are in wheelchairs or have difficulty getting around. But by the same token, do I want a huge condo development on top of my Legion, or do I want a huge condo development in that part of the community? That is the issue here, right? It's not so much about the Legion itself, although that's part of the issue. The real issue is the development of a new condo building.
I'd take one step further. I'd say the real issue is, did council manage their communications well? Did they manage their consensus building well? And when you think about the marina, when you think about parking meters, when you think about the dog park, all those issues come together. The CCC, the Boulevard Gardens. Are these guys really managing their message well? Are they able to communicate and build mm-hmm. consensus around things? And then in each of those cases, I think we can go one way or the other, but I think overall, things start to smell a bit different.
Well, and they counselors have to own their decisions, right? That's what really what it comes down to when you're talking about running in an election. You've got to be able to look back at a record. And if you don't have much of a record to speak of, which I got to be frank with you, I don't think in Cobourg there really is much of a record to speak of for this past council. And in Port Hope, there's definitely not much of a record to speak of. I mean, we had one listener say after our show last week, thanks for helping me decide that I won't be voting for any incumbents, because the problems in Port Hope have been going on council after council after council. So one does have to look at the incumbents and say, you know, you guys dropped the ball for us 3 terms ago and you still haven't picked it up, you know?
Well, look at the issue of the dog park. There's a great example. You know, Larry Sherwin is there. He worked 4 years to build consensus. He worked day and night trying to, you know, one Sinclair Park was one option at one point. Mm-hmm. There were different locations. They tried to get the Conservation Authority, James Coburn Park, and he just kept working that and working that and working that, talking to the citizens involved. Not everybody was happy, but he really worked hard to try and build a consensus. Mm-hmm. You know, how much of a consensus was built around the Legion? People were definitely opposed. Council voted a certain way. Now it's turned out that, you know, it's still going to go forward.
Well, and it didn't look as though council was even really, really willing to discuss the matter. You know, the real issue for council, from my perspective, sure, as a viewer, is that they weren't really willing to discuss the matter. They weren't willing to discuss the issues. And the issue really is whether the design of the new structure fits within heritage guidelines. That's the over-encompassing issue. But for the town, it was really just a zoning issue.
Or even the park.
And that's how it was handled by the town and by the planning department. And also, this is a zoning issue. We'll get to the design issue after.
Or same with the marina issue. I mean, you know, the communication got so garbled up. And, you know, mm-hmm, yes, this is the plan. No, this is not the plan. You know, people literally climbing the walls saying, you know, we don't want this. We do want this. And as it turns out, I mean, that whole issue hasn't been resolved yet.
Nope.
But has it tarnished the incumbents sufficiently to affect the vote?
Well, I think it may have. I really do. I think because a lot of people are asking about it, whether you're for or against it. And it seems to me that a lot of people are willing to say, hey, wait a minute, why are we moving ahead so fast right now? Like, you know, it was like what's said in the Northumberland View comment. You know, everyone looks at their record about, I did this, I built this, I built this, we built this, we built this. We should really be looking at, we decided not to do this, we decided this wasn't a good idea, we decided to save money this way. There's not a lot of talk in that sense. There's a lot of talk about what we built and what our legacy projects are going to be, the long and short of it is, the real legacy is how much you're able to bring the citizens on board, how open and communicative were you, and whether or not you were there to listen to your constituents. That's the legacy you want
Absolutely.
To leave behind.
You know, have they built a consensus? Have they been able to bring everybody together so there's a common vision mm-hmm. in moving forward? And that doesn't preclude the cases where, you know, council has to make that tough stand and go forward. And a great example of that, of course, is the skating rink pond in between the two condo developments in the harbor. I mean, Peter Delante got a lot of heat on that.
Yep.
He stuck to his guns. But, you know, you go now and try and close that down, and good luck. I mean, everybody loves that place.
Well,
now.
And the thing about really comes to a point about that issue is that so many people that fought it, they made it smaller. They've, you know, the consensus by the town was, okay, well, we'll make it smaller, da-da-da-da. But now those same people who are complaining about it are saying, oh, well, now we realize the error of our ways. Now it's too small. So, you know, again, it really is about building consensus. And you know, I think the problem with the ice rink fountain project was that, you know, the province handed us a whole lot of money, and it was for a health and wellness initiative, which should have been brought forth. And that's why they did it. So, I mean, the real answer for the town is, you know, was there enough consultation done? Some people would say there was too much.
And where did people stand? I mean, you know, is it good enough just to be always the negative voice on council and saying, oh, no, 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 no? And when do you take a stand to say yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the thing, though. I mean, to the average individual of this town, the person sitting in the Tim Hortons or in the McDonald's, are they upset enough to switch their vote?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was interesting because you talked about last week, there was one listener who definitely said, I've been affected by a particular issue and it's shifted the way I'm going to vote. So, yes, we have these groups, these pockets of people that come forward mm-hmm. and say, we're opposed, the lovers of heritage in the Legion redevelopment. Fair enough. But are they sufficient enough to shift the vote? is it going to mean that we're going to see incumbents on the street?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, you look at somebody, there's counselors, who, for example, who take credit for a lot of decisions that get made, and all they're doing is sitting around the table, you know, putting up their hand every now and then. Are they coming forward with ideas?
You know, we can look at, I'm going to look at Donna Todd, because the issue came up about the art gallery, okay? And it came out this year, but you know, from all the indicators, they knew well in advance that this was a problem, that this was ongoing. Even before they brought on the new board, even before they brought in the new staff, they knew that this was a problem. And Donna Todd actually admitted this to some people that were speaking at the speed dating event. So the real question for her record, because now she's going to run, she's running for deputy mayor. The deputy mayor is responsible for the budget. Do we want someone to be our deputy mayor who allowed this type of oversight to not occur with the art gallery, to allow this type of theft? I mean, let's call it what it is, if that's what the charges are. She was the counselor responsible for oversight. She was on that committee. Why was it allowed to go on as long as it has? And why did we only find out about it after certain legal actions were launched this year?
I think it's because they got backed into a corner. Mm-hmm. That it was so it came down that council could no longer meet behind closed doors to be discussing what was going on. I think that, you know, everybody around that table knew what was going on. It was the public that was left in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I wrote very clearly that I felt that, you know, everyone on that board should have resigned. And she carries a lot of the baggage here because that was her portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Donna's done a lot of work on various committees. She was in the recreation portfolio and the tourism portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Not particularly a controversial portfolio, so she didn't really have to handle a lot of dirty things. But this was one major test for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I agree with you. I think there was a little bit coming up short.
Well, there's a resounding F from a lot of folks here locally that were just astonished by what was going on at the art gallery and why the town would now have to pony up the money for the shortfall. That's another concern that people have, whether or not that even happens.
And what about her record? I mean, you know, she's been one of those counselors where when you're reading through the reports, constantly votes against things. She has a problem with something or she's not happy with something.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up voting against it. And so the question becomes, well, what do you stand for and why wasn't this problem solved and do your issues get resolved and why don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a lack of communication either between her and staff or she is unable to motivate people to address her concerns appropriately, when she sits in that deputy mayor's chair, that's a pretty influential position. You know, is she going to be running against the grain while the rest of council wants to do something else?
Mm-hmm.
And how is that going to affect the dynamic on council, our budget? You know, we're talking about our future, your taxes, my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does she get to be an independent and run her own show and to hell with everybody else or what? Because that seems to be the, you know, quite mm-hmm. frequently that's been her position at council.
Well, and the same could be said of John Henderson. The same thing could be said about Mr. Pagnuolo as well. What is their motivation? The other issue for this past council, too, is it seems to have been a council where you tended to have a majority of councillors voting in a certain way. And it was always seemed to be this block of councillors that no matter what happened, you know, people could point to the harbor issue. They could point to any of the issues here municipally, the Legion, for instance, and see that there was a block of councillors that just sort of went, well, we're going to do it. And as long as we have the control, which is what ended up happening, it didn't matter what the opposition said. And so,
who are you talking about? We're talking about Brockenier. We're talking about Stan Frost. We're talking about Forrest Rowden. We're talking about Larry Sherwin. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
And then I'd say John Henderson, you know, he would vote with that group, but he also broke away a couple of times.
Did.
He sort of swung back and
he
forth.
Did.
And then Miriam and Donna, they would sometimes line up quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if the count, so where so, do we go from there?
Well, the point I'm trying to get at is there wasn't a single mindedness to the council. And you don't always have to vote with everything. You know, we don't want to see 100% consensus every time, but you don't want to see 100% every time of no, we don't think we should do this. No, 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 no. That's, you know, you don't want a counselor that's always going to do this or yes, 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 either on the same side.
But,
right?
But I mean, if, in the role of a counselor, and I mean, Mouton's a great example of this. Miriam's a great gadfly. She gets in there in council. She's up and down. I swear, if you didn't know better, you'd think there was a tack on her chair because she's up on every issue and asking tough questions. Mm-hmm. And that's great when you're a counselor. Ben Bird was like that. Don Kirka was like that when he was on council. Ray Bowen used to be like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a real role for that. And it's a very vital part of our democratic process. And we see it in other councilors in other councils as well. However, when you're going to be mayor and you're going to be in charge, you can't be standing up all the time and raising those kinds of issues. And so the question becomes, how do you go from being a gadfly to somebody who's going to be in charge? And, you know, these are going to be your reports and your staff. And if you're having problems getting answers when you're a counselor, how's it going to suddenly change just because you're mayor? You know, and and so I wonder, you know, what kind of role these people want to move up, but are they the right person for that particular position? Do we want somebody like that?
As the mayor or deputy?
As the mayor or deputy mayor.
Absolutely.
I mean, those are critical positions in the council. So, you know, I mean, you and I are just talking about these roles and our impressions. But, I mean, as voters, I hope your listeners are sitting there going, you know, what is it that I expect from those people? And, you know, what are their records? And hopefully they'll ask the tough questions at the door and get some good answers so they can vote and feel positive about their choice.
Well, just on a note, before we go to a quick commercial here, on Wednesday, that's today, the Port Hope and District Chamber of Commerce is hosting the All Candidates event from 6:30, which is about a minute from now, till 9:30. The event takes place at the Port Hope High School at Victoria Street and Highland Drive. This opportunity for Port Hope residents and business owners to hear from the candidates in the upcoming municipal election and meet them face-to-face. It's not the speed dating format. But, and again, you know what? Everyone I talked to who attended the event said the speed dating format was the best format. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more. Consider this here on your Drive Time.
Art enriches our lives. The Art Gallery of Northumberland has been enriching the lives of local residents for nearly 55 years, featuring a collection of over 800 artworks. It's a public art gallery for the people of Northumberland County, presenting stimulating and inviting exhibitions and programming for everyone. The Art Gallery of Northumberland is a charitable organization operating to benefit our community. For more information on the Art Gallery of Northumberland or to make a donation, visit artgalleryofnorthumberland.com.
Residents of Northumberland County for over 25 years. Experience a higher quality of life with the help of Community Care Northumberland, providing help with meals, making visits to your home, transportation services, palliative care, and more, all coordinated through Community Care Northumberland's 6 area offices. For more information about Community Care Northumberland, visit their website at comcare.ca. That's comcare.ca. Interested in volunteering? Give them a call at 1-866-514-5774. Community Care Northumberland is there for you and your family.
Welcome to the Royal Canadian Legion Branch, 133 Coburg. Are you renewing your membership or becoming a member?
Becoming a member, and I've got my grandpa's combat boots, his service records, his medals, his ID, and him.
Hello.
Well, you don't need these. The Legion's for everybody, not just veterans.
So, I didn't need to bring all this stuff?
No.
Okay, guys, don't bring the tank in.
The Royal Canadian Legion is at 136 Orr Street in Coburg. To become a member, call Don at 905-372-2231 today.
A question for David Evans, physiotherapist and co-owner, We Fix You Physiotherapy and Foot Health Centers.
What exactly is a physiotherapist?
Great question, because a lot of people confuse what a physio is between chiropractors and massage therapists. Ideally, what I'll tell you is physiotherapists are university-educated health professionals. We're considered primary health care providers. You don't need a doctor's note to come in and see us. Physiotherapists, we can work with people with heart conditions, breathing conditions, joint pains, neuro problems, seniors, sports injuries. What we do is we bring you in for about an hour an assessment and we listen to your problems. And then we come up with a diagnosis and we come up with a treatment that will best suit your condition to get you better as fast as possible.
For more information or to make an appointment with a physiotherapist, contact We Fix You in Coburg or Port Hope, or visit we-fix-you.com.
Northumberland County is known for its beautiful towns, heritage homes, cozy suburbs, and all the fields in between. Nobody could be hungry, cold, alone, or homeless. Not our neighbors. Or are they? Last year, 274 people turned to Transition House. Each found a safe, clean bed, hot meals, and help from our caring staff and volunteers in getting their lives back together. For more information on what we provide or to volunteer, call 905-377-0378 or visit us at 10 Chapel Street in Coburg.
Hi, I'm David Hayes of Cedar Rail, and on behalf of my partner Wendy Bellin, we just want to tell you about our new show, It's All About the Music, which airs Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7. The show features local entertainment as well as great musicians from the past, such as Patsy Cline and Merle Haggard. Hope you can tune in, Northumberland 89.7, Wednesday night at 7.
Thought-provoking lyrics, dynamic instrumentation, music that moves you. Folk music has a history steeped in those qualities. It's helped generations deal with joy, sorrow, global strife. It's been a catalyst for social change. Sometimes it's just good down-home music to keep your toes tapping. On Sunday Coffee House, we explore all those aspects of today's folk music, which takes in a whole range of styles, including acoustic, Celtic roots, and beyond. I'm Greg Schatzman. Find out more about the show online at sundaycoffeehouse.com and tune in Sundays at 12 noon on Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the Drive Time here on Northumberland 89.7. By the way, as I said earlier, just before the break there, the Port Hope and District Chamber of Commerce is hosting their All Candidates event right now, folks. If you're listening in the car, you're probably almost there, and you want to go there rather than listen to what we have to say. By the way, if you have any questions or comments for us, it's something you think we should be talking about, if you think there's a political iceberg out there for a particular candidate, give us a call at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. We'd love to have you here in the conversation. Well, so it's not just Port Hope and Coburg we're looking at, Rob. We're looking at other areas as well, right?
Hamilton Township really raises a couple of good issues. I mean, you don't get a lot on the public record about what goes on up there, but you might remember back in 2011, there was a big controversy around the firing of Betty McIntosh, and she was let go, and
they had to write a big check for her too, didn't they?
Oh, they did in the end. But certainly, when that dismissal motion came through, there was a lot of questions around, you know, Mark Lovshin's leadership, and you know, he and Woods tried to do certain motions and tried to hang on, but ultimately they were sort of put on a rail and run out of town, and the three opponents just voted them right out of the room. And so I wonder sometimes about, you know, Lovshin's leadership of this council. And you know, if you go back and you look at who does a lot of the talking and who's, you know, putting forward most of the motions, you got to wonder, is was he a really strong leader and the type of leader that we need?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, here's the problem, and you know, and every municipality faces this issue when you've got issues with staff. Okay, I mean, some people have said that in Coburg that we have problems with some of the staff here at Port Hope. They've had problems with staff issues. One of the concerns by a lot of voters out there is whether or not staff is running the show or whether the elected officials are running the show. So, I mean, this is another example of maybe some wrong-minded policy.
Well, the other thing too is, I mean, library services often bring out a large crowd to their meetings, and you know, there's been a lot of back and forth about Coburg and how much they should be paying to Coburg for this service, and you know, people are always very concerned about that, and you know, that keeps coming up, and they haven't been really able. I don't know if they've really been able to, again, to get a handle on it and truly to truly resolve that particular issue. And then there was, you know, another thing, speaking of Mark Lovshin, there was another thing involving him and county council. I mean, he was the one that sort of pushed to see about having a single tier of government. And he was really pushing that agenda with Linda Thompson. And, you know, is this a guy who maybe has his eye over the next 4 years of dissolving all the local towns and townships, and we're just going to get one, you know, regional municipality of Northumberland West or Northumberland?
Well, and is that something... You know, again, you know, this is part of the problem when you've got an economic downturn. I mean, during the gravy days, nobody ever thinks about this, you know. But when times are tough, everyone starts to think, well, how can we roll back this cost? And how can we, you know, roll this cost into cost sharing? And the idea of amalgamation comes to play simply because there doesn't seem to be enough money going around from the municipal pools in order to cover the cost for so many things, like policing, for instance, or fire service, or any of those other core services, library services, for instance, or public transit, for instance. You know, these are all things that cost a lot of money,
And, you know, they used to be heavily supported by the provincial and federal governments. Those days have gone. And so now you've got municipalities trying to scramble to find ways of funding programming. And, you know, so is that part of the move, you think, by Mr. Lovshin to try and get a single-tier government? Is that one of the reasons? Just to save money, to reduce property taxes?
Well, you know, that could be it. I mean, they just Hamilton Township just hired a new fire chief just recently. And, you know, when you think about it, do we really need three fire chiefs in West Northumberland? I mean, you know, as when you look at fire services, you know, could we get away with one chief and then, you know, some station platoon leaders? And I don't know what the hierarchy would be, but could we get away with one? Same with policing, as you say. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we really need to have OPP and local police forces? Would it be cheaper? But, you know, hey, when we're running an election, nobody wants to put that stuff on the table because, you know, it's basically I'm running for a job that I hope to vote myself out of.
No, that's a good point. And you know, as I say, you know, I grew up in Toronto. Now, when I was a little boy in Toronto, it was just Toronto.
Yep.
Then you had North York, East York, Scarborough, all of the other separate, and they were all separate, every one of them. But the police service was amalgamated in 1956 in the Metropolitan Toronto. And prior to that, Scarborough had their own force. North York had their own force. Why did they amalgamate their police service? To save money. Now, did that mean the cities were all amalgamated? No, it didn't. That didn't happen until Mike Harris came along. I mean, North York had their own fire department, own fire chiefs, fire captains. Scarborough had their own fire service. So they probably could have taken a step further as far as emergency services go, not just policing, but to include those things as well. And we know that when the amalgamation came down and they did create the one GTA fire service, that all of the other municipalities, their fire officers all got raises because they were brought up to the Toronto level, right?
But I know if you go back and you look at the record of Hamilton Township, they would voted to maintain their own identity.
Yeah.
And so to have somebody running for mayor that's already demonstrated a particular stance on the notion of an amalgamation or a possible one-tier government,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how that would play. And we were talking about icebergs today, and I just wonder if that's one of those quiet bergs that's sitting out there in the water,
mm-hmm.
that could come back and bite him before or crash into him before we get to election day.
Well, we should, you know, I mean, part of the issue for this area, of course, is that we're urban and rural at the same time. So it is often very difficult to come up with a single plan when you're dealing with two very distinct areas of service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people in the municipalities within the cities themselves, and Port Hope's a great example of this because you've got rural people in Ward 2 and you've got the urban folk in Ward 1, and there seems to be this constant banging of the heads together.
Sure.
And a lot of that, I think, a lot of the problems come down to simple conversation, discussion, as Ian Angus said, you know, an openness, a willingness to accept that in the rural part of the municipality, life is a little different. And that's why people choose to live in those rural areas. So there needs to be a communication formula that would foster the sustainability of that lifestyle and while not foisting the additional costs onto that lifestyle of the urban environment. Because that, let's face it, the roads are being paved in town. The water and all of that other stuff is being provided in town. So all of the major public works projects, for instance, in Port Hope, primarily affect Ward 1. The Ward 2 residents are saying, well, why should we have to pay for these infrastructure developments? I mean, down the road, sure, that could benefit them. But immediately, there's no benefit to them. So until they can get over this hurdle of us and them, you know, there's not going to be any type of fluid communication. So I guess the point really is that I'm trying to get at is there has to be a willingness on all parties to work to a common goal. And the first thing you need to do, though, is come up with what that common goal is going to be. So to your point of political icebergs, is it the common goal of West Northumberland to form one unified service and maybe go for one tier? Is that something that Mark Lovshin's talking about? And if that is something that he's talking about, is that something that the voters are going to be good with?
Well, I guess it depends on what's going on at the doors of the various voters where he's knocking. I mean, if it's important to them, I think it'll be something that comes through. I guess what we're trying to get at today is what's really a fatal issue out in Hamilton Township. Mm-hmm. And you know, they did vote against any wind farms. They have mm-hmm. a total ban up there. And yet they've had this huge solar power solar power project up there. They've had residents complaining. Now, is that sufficient? Is there a sufficient energy around that issue to, again, hurt any incumbents? And I, you know, when you look at who's running for mayor, Donna Cole's running for mayor, John mm-hmm. Davidson's running for deputy. Again, when we go back to that earlier leadership issue, I think that they can smell the fact that he's not a strong leader, and Woods mm-hmm. is not a very strong leader. And I think they are going to give them both a big run for their money, because there just hasn't been the leadership on council that's been necessary. Mm-hmm. And there's been this constant clash going on up there between those two and the rest of council. So, but again, is there an issue up there that's fatal? I'd be curious if there's any listeners out in Hamilton Township that might be able to call in and say, you know, what they feel are the really critical issues out there.
Well, one issue that did come up and has been, I guess, resolved is the idea of protecting farmland, key to Northumberland adopting their official plan. Now, one of the things that did come up when Pat McCord had come in, she talked about how they were going to take some farming, some land that had been designated agricultural and turn that into industrial lands. And I guess the consensus has been through their council and through county council that they probably don't need to do that. And so it looks to me like they have either shelved it or they've decided in its entirety that agricultural land should remain in the agriculture for the future of everyone. Once we pave over agricultural land, we're stuck for food.
But let me ask you this, Dave. How do we get to that point? Because, you know, if we have strong advocates sitting around the table when these plans are being talked about and staff is starting to look at them, you think a good politician would turn around and say, you know what? I know my constituents well. This is not a good idea. Don't even put it in the plan, because you're just going to get mm-hmm. feedback. And yet somehow we get a plan that comes out. And I mean, this, again, it goes back to other issues as well. We get plans that come out that are half-baked, and all of a sudden there's all this turmoil and people are upset, mm-hmm. and we go down this path. And I'm saying to you, that's why I think these are icebergs, because they come back and you mm-hmm. go, where were you in the early stages?
The question for Mark Lefshin. Where were you in the early stages? Why did this have to be finally killed? Because it wasn't killed until it got to county council's planning decision. And it wasn't until the final meeting of that planning decision that they decided they weren't going to do this. And that's a real question of leadership. Why did it even make it on the agenda? And why did it even make it into the plan if they knew full well, which they clearly did, that it just wasn't something that was going to fly, you know? And it's the same thing with Coburg. I mean, we've got this vitalization thing. It's now part of the town plan, the vitalization of downtown Coburg. And yet nothing seems to be moving forward with it. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It sounds like it's a great photo opportunity for, you know, the mayor at the time. It's a great opportunity to stand there with a big check if you get the big check. But, you know, until the actual cash is checked and the money's been spent, or check is cash rather, and the money's spent, it's still just a vague plan.
Well, wasn't it just in a recent council meeting they approved a sign to go up to tell everybody what they're doing? I mean, a pat on the back. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this what we've come down to? And what is being done concretely? And I mean, those are some tough questions that, you know, this council has to answer. I mean, it's great that we're concerned about the downtown. But I really think that was a Bread and Seagulls thing. I mean, the OMAFRA came through town, the Ministry of Rural Affairs mm-hmm. came through town and said, here, we've got some cash, we're going to throw it at you, do a study. Port Hope did the same thing, and we get these great studies. But, you know, putting up a sign, whether it's a directory for businesses in downtown like Port Hope's got, or whether it's a sign to say, here's what great things we're doing, is that really mm-hmm. going to save the local economy? It is a big question mark. And well, again, you know, is it money wasted?
Well, it's very much shades of the economic action plan that the federal government has rolled out. You see lots of signs. You see some projects underway. But for the most part, it's just a lot of signs.
So are you saying that downtown revitalization might be one of those icebergs out there?
I think it might be, because let's be frank. You know what? And I've said this 1,000 times if I've said it once. You know, and people, Don Kirkup will even say this, you know, oh, it's too much emphasis put on the downtown. Well, I got to remind people, and especially ratepayers in this particular town, that the downtown is the single largest employer in Coburg. There are more people working in our downtown core than any other single place in the town of Cobourg. That's all of the industrial parks. That's this plant. That's Belden, whatever. The largest employer in Cobourg is the downtown. And if we don't do something to help retain the businesses that are here, attract new businesses that can come and be part of our vital downtown, then we will no longer have that. And let's be honest with ourselves. If the downtown ratepayers aren't there to make those payments on their taxes, that's just going to fall back onto the backs of the homeowners here in the community. And a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, you spend too much time talking about downtown. You don't talk about the mall or these other places. You know what? They're all part of the economic package that is Cobourg. And we need to ensure that all of those areas are sustainable. You know, we can go to meeting after meeting trying to woo big employers here, you know, but there's no more General Foods. They're not coming back. We can woo smaller employers that are going to do similar production, if you will, people doing, you know, food packaging and all of that other stuff. That can still be done here. But the idea that you're going to bring a large employer that's going to suddenly boost the numbers, I think I read a report recently that said we've had 178 new jobs in the last few years here. That's only 178 new jobs. How many have we lost in that same time period? That wasn't stated in the report, just how many have grown. So we need to focus on the things that are working. And one of the things that is working in our downtown, despite vacancies, which aren't at a record high, by the way, listeners, is we need to encourage those businesses that are there to be able to survive, to be sustainable, and we need to encourage new business to come to the downtown. And, you know, driving down through our downtown, which is a wonderful downtown, it's almost 100% original. A lot of those buildings were built in like 1835, 1840s. And, you know, when you get inside some of them, you know that. And, you know, there really hasn't been a lot of motivation on the part of council to help these people get the money they need to upgrade their facilities, upgrade their heating and plumbing, for instance, to make it a nicer place, to change the facades up a bit, to refresh that look. And I think that's something the Downtown Vitalization Program was going to look at. But now they're talking about offering loans to businesses that want to do the work. And let's be frank, you know, if you're a Mr. Louie, and I'm going to point out Mr. Louie in the downtown, and he probably won't be happy, but the reality is the man owns a lot of property in the downtown, you know, from the Midtown Cafe to the old coffee shop that burned down. And he gets a great tax break from our town because he has a lot of space that's uninhabitable. So he doesn't have to pay the commercial rate on those properties, on that space, on that square footage, because it's not inhabitable. And that is ridiculous. So before we start offering loans to people, we should start saying to these business owners, hey, you know what? The onus is on you. And by the way, we're going to get rid of that tax break. Because if I own a building in the downtown and I have to pay taxes on the entire square footage that I use, and just because you can't use your square footage, that should not fall onto the backs of the residential ratepayers. So that's one thing I'd like to see happen.
Well, but you know what? Stan Frost, 2 years ago, said on the record in the press that he was going to change that around and he was going to tackle that as an issue and never delivered. But more importantly, so what you're saying really is downtown revitalization, which I'm sure every council member in Cobourg is heralding as one of the major achievements of this council, you're saying this is going to come back and bite them in the butt and going to be maybe an albatross around their necks.
I think it may be. I definitely think it, unless it is rolled out in a way that is actually beneficial to the current residents and occupants of those downtown businesses, as well as attracting businesses.
But that's in the future. As now, the current record.
Well, right now it's nothing. Right now it's nothing but a dream, you know. And it's going to be nothing but a dream until there's actually a plan.
So you know what? I think Boulevard Gardens is going to be the same kind of thing. I know that looked like a crazy issue, but I think that issue is going to be toxic when it comes time for people to vote, because you know what? That should have never got off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That was a simple decision. We're talking about flowers in front of some houses. It was about the height of the flowers. There was a vote taken. Mouton tried to get the height of the flowers changed. She lost the vote. She couldn't coalesce the rest of council, and that's really telltale. I mean, you know, this is a councillor who has always butted heads with everybody, and then at a time when, you know, it was a critical issue, she couldn't coalesce the rest of council behind her cause, and she lost. And then what happened? She spent the summer And the spring and the fall, defending herself against constant complaint, you know, turned into this horrible, horrible issue. You know, she ends up saying, you know, we got to go to court, we're going to fight, blah, blah, blah. And then as it turns out, about a year later, they flip around. Now the bylaw has been changed again. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That dominated our landscape politically for about a year. Mm-hmm. And you know, well, and it was something real simple and bam, it turns into something ugly. And I think there's nobody that can get away from it with this, with being clean.
No. And the problem I have with an issue like that, Rob, is that by talking about that, we're not talking about other issues.
Absolutely.
We're not talking about, you know, finding efficiencies. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about finding ways of reducing taxes. We're not talking about that. Instead, we're talking about how high you can grow your garden. And that is not an issue for everyone. An issue for everyone is how you're going to keep my taxes low. How are you going to be able to maintain the services that I expect and enjoy on a even fiscal footing? Because everyone's trying to cover the nut now. You know, I mean, the jobs aren't coming as plenty as they used to, and a lot of folks are working for a lot less than they were even 4 years ago, and they're the ones who are having to pick up the freight on some decisions that are being made that, quite frankly, are not in the best interest. I mean, if I see any more money being spent on a consultant in this town, I don't know what we could possibly have to consult on. We've got reports on staffing that haven't been addressed. That's something that needs to be brought up. We've got reports on the harbor that, quite frankly, are unfinished. And so, and now we're debating the issue of whether we should redevelop the harbor based on an unfinished report, really. So, I mean, so many things that are going to cost money, and yet, as Chris Pelletier said, no one's talking about, oh, I decided not to vote on this, or I decided to vote against that. That is a record that people should be looking at as well.
Does it maybe, is the telltale clue the number of people who are running for council this time seems to be, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a sign. You know, if there's leadership lacking or people feel there's a vacuum at the top, they see an opportunity to step forward and fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, you know, with all these people running and the competitive nature of it this time, maybe it is an indicator that there just hasn't been the kind of leadership that people really respect. So, you know, you got to look over the list and say to yourself, you know what, maybe you're right. There, all these issues are going to come floating quietly into the harbor,
mm-hmm.
and sink a couple ships.
Well, and that's definitely something. Like there was a Ben Bird who put out a report a couple of weeks ago before he went on vacation that Mayor Brockenier could probably just go on vacation now that Don Kirkup's in the mess. And I would say that that's not the case. I think there are a number of people, as you say, dissatisfied, disenfranchised, fed up with the lack of communication, fed up with the lack of transparency. And they're just saying, you know what? We don't want to have any of these people back.
So let's hope they go out and vote, because that's going to be the critical part.
Well, that's the real issue, getting out the vote. And maybe that's something we should talk about on our next show, talking about how we're going to get out the vote, because it's not just about identifying electors who want to take a sign on your front lawn. It's about making sure that you can identify support and then phoning those people to ensure that they vote. And they got a week to vote. I mean, you can vote from the 20th to the 27th. You know, you got a whole and it's voting online. You can vote from your smartphone. You could be standing at the grocery store, at the Metro, or at the Foodland, or at the No Frills, and you can vote while you're waiting to cash out. I mean, that's how easy it is. So the voting numbers, they were not higher so much. There wasn't a significant increase in the last election. And, you know, that is a telltale. You know, Ian Angus said, you know, one of the reasons why there's an uproar in Port Hope is because the voters don't seem to trust their council. Is there an inherent trust level in Cobourg that is slowly being eroded? Are people starting to say, you know what? Yeah, I like, you know, I like Gil. He's a great guy. Or I like Donna. She's a great lady. But to be honest with you, I don't think that the town's been moving forward at a pace that is in keeping with the cost of living, or at the pace that people are now finding themselves living 4 years after this council was elected. You know, I mean, we've got staff issues. You know, I read a report today about from the staff basically saying that the crosswalk at King and College Streets isn't a legal crosswalk, but they put it there so that people would have a common place to cross the road. I mean, I don't understand the motivation behind staff, and I don't know who's responsible for that particular public work. I don't know who has the public works portfolio, but how can you consciously put a crosswalk in an area where you know it's not, according to the Highway Traffic Act, a legal crosswalk, where you're giving cars the option? I mean, that is something pretty basic.
It's Mouton's portfolio as a councillor, and I believe it's Bill Watson is the head of engineering for the town.
So there you go. I mean, that's a question for voters as well. How long are we going to continue to spend money on things because someone thought it was a good idea?
That's all I'm saying. We, you know, we got the parking meter issue. We could talk about it as well. We got 4 minutes left, but I mean, with the parking meter, council voted to get a parking meter that would include the ability to swipe your debit card. Okay, but staff decided that they wanted to go with the old coin style, so they purchased the coin style ones, even though council voted on purchasing the more expensive ones. Now, was it an effort to save money? Maybe. But in the long run, those coin ones are going to go the way of the buggy whip. People don't have change in their pocket. They don't have change in their ashtrays. You know, so they're more willing to use a credit card or to use their debit card. I mean, just go to the pay and display signs areas and you'll see. I mean, most of them, even if they do take cash, the preferred mode of payment is debit or credit card. And yet that's not going to be an option if they put those parking meters in the downtown. And that was a staff decision, right? So it was really up to council to say to the staff, no, we don't want these ones. These are not the ones we want. What we want are the ones that will allow us, you know, you don't, again, this is about oversight, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it comes back to something we've been talking about a lot, and that's leadership. You know, how does leadership manifest itself at a council? And I guess going back to voting is, you know, are people going to be upset enough, angry enough, motivated enough to, as you say, take those few minutes and get your voice in there. And now's the time to make sure that you're on the voters list. You know, getting down to town hall, there's a great site, Coburg town site. They've got a great interface. You just put your name in, check if you're there. If you're not, it's a single phone call. You go downtown, show them some ID, and bang, you're on the list.
I did it myself.
Yep.
I did it myself. Actually, I was the first person they had to do it for this year. And so I was the guinea pig, and it, so it took a little longer than it will for anybody else now that they've got all the bugs worked out. But, I mean, the ladies down at the town hall, Lisa and the rest of the crew over there, I mean, they do a great job. They're there to help you.
Absolutely.
And they want to help you. Isn't that something? They actually want to help you. I want to thank Rob Washburn for being my guest today. He will be back, of course, soon. But in the meantime, I'm going to play a couple of seconds of Steppenwolf's Born to Be Wild here on your Drive Time. Rob, we'll see you next week. And who knows, maybe we'll even have Paul Smith in next week.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's really great to be here.
My pleasure. Thanks for tuning in, listeners.
Northumberland 89.7 is CFWN, truly local radio, serving Northumberland County, a not-for-profit volunteer community radio station.
It's the Cedar Rail interview coming up here, actually. Brooke Sturzenegger. Boy, you know what? I know I just butchered that poor guy's name. But anyway, here they are. It's Cedar Rail. It is Behind the Music here on Northumberland 89.7.